Welcome to the Teacher Rockstar Podcast. I'm your host, Steve Hiles, and today we're diving into a topic that hits home for a lot of educators. What's really going wrong in our education system and how those bigger forces affect teachers doing their best on the front lines. My guest today is Brian Wetzel, author of The Real Problems Destroying Education. Now, in his book, Brian pulls no punches. He breaks down the hidden dynamics holding schools back and challenges the assumptions we've all been living under. He's been in the classroom, in leadership roles, and now he's using his voice to push for real, lasting change. Now, before we continue, I want to share just a little bit about our special guest today. Brian Wetzel is an educator, author, and thought leader dedicated to rethinking the way schools support teachers and students. With years of experience across classrooms and administration, Brian has seen firsthand how systematic pressures erode passion and creativity in education. His book, The Real Problems Destroying Education, challenges conventional narratives and calls for a reawakening of purpose in teaching, starting with empowering those who stand at the front of the classroom every day. Welcome to the show, Brian.
Thanks for having me. Delighted to be here.
All right. Would you like to take a moment to share with our audience today your educational journey?
Yeah, I would. So first of all, I've never been in the classroom as a teacher. I had a company that created K through 12 educational resources. And so I would be in the classroom a lot of times teaching teachers how to use the resource, doing follow-up education on that. I met with a lot of administrators. I've met with a lot of districts and showed them our products and how to use them. We had assessments that I was a part of designing. My wife has been a public school teacher now for 22 years, and I had kids in the system. So one of the things I tell people, I wrote the book from three different angles. I have experience behind the curtain. I have experience with a wife who is right there. And then I had kids, so they were in the public school system and we were navigating that. Now they're all in their 20s at this point. So I've been able to see how things have changed just in my time. Mm-hmm. And a lot of things I always tell people when I wrote the book, when I started meeting with administrators and teachers and district people all around the country, I thought that education would start to make more sense. Like I got a peek behind the curtain, I saw the wizard, and I said, oh, okay, everything's come together. But it actually just made me more confused. And so that was really the genesis. I wanted to write that book when we were still doing the company, but that wouldn't have gone over very well with the partners.
Okay. Well, thank you for sharing that. And I would like to start, Brian, with this question to you. You know, for a brand new teacher walking into their first classroom, what's one of those real problems that you discuss that most are likely to feel first, even if they can't name it yet?
Well, I'll answer that by telling you that I interviewed 169 teachers that were on the verge of retiring or retiring and asked them what the three reasons they were leaving education were. And I think most people who are not in education would say it was pay.
Yeah.
But pay was actually three. It was third on the list. It was behavior and it was the amount of work stress and pressure. And I think that both those two things, behavior and the stress, the pressure that's put on teachers nowadays, is going to be the first thing that they notice. I think that that's the first thing that they're going to have to really navigate and learn how to deal with.
Okay. So yeah, I could kind of relate to that too, because, you know, as an educator, it seems like every year they put more on your plate, but you know, they don't take nothing away.
So my wife is always like, they'll say, we're going to do this for a short time. She said, no, that'll be there for three more years.
You know, it's something else. So, when that problem starts showing up, Brian, what's a sign or a pattern that a new teacher can recognize early before it actually leads to burnout?
Well, my wife would say it's when you need to go home and have a drink of wine after after every day, that's a bad sign. So we won't go there with it. But I would say that, you know, stress has a way of sort of, you know, it can raise your blood pressure. It can cause stress where, and you bring it home. It's for a new teacher, I would suggest. And I asked several teachers this, like, how do you made it this far? What do you do? And they said, I have to disconnect when I come home, or I bring that home to the family. And maybe I've had a bad day. Maybe I've had a couple students who were a problem and I didn't feel like I got support from the administration with it. And then you come home frustrated, and you know, oftentimes we take it out on the people closest to us. Yes. And that was several of the teachers talked about how when I come home, I unload on my husband, and they sit quietly and because they know I just need to get it out. And
absolutely. You know, absolutely.
And my wife is the same way.
Okay. Well, let me ask you this. Now, what moment or pattern made you realize that the system itself and not the teachers might be the problem?
Well, there's two things. There's two answers to this. So when I was in it, I would oftentimes talk to administrators and I would point out something that wasn't working for them, that they were spending money on. And they would just kind of shrug their shoulders at the administrative level and say, well, that's what we're doing. And I would say, well, but don't you want to, shouldn't like a business would want to find the most, the best way to go about it that was cost effective. And what I saw was a lot of cost cutting. What was funny about selling to districts was that you would see a lot of cost cutting, but then at the end of the year, I'd get a call from principals and say, I have some Title I money I haven't spent. And if I don't spend it, I'll lose it next year. So I'm going to give it to you. And I would say, okay, well, when do you want to schedule us to come in and train the teachers? And they'd say, well, that's not necessary. We're not going to use it. But we have to spend the money or they'll take it away next year.
That's sure.
And I was like, but you're not using it this year. Why do you need it next year? And so the answer to that question is longer. To shorten it, I would say there was a lot of things that were just not common sense that would hit me when I'd be talking to different, and especially when you would go from one district to another and they're all doing it differently and not getting better results. That was one thing. The second part of that answer is that when I started doing research and I started speaking to some college professors who have been studying this, one of the things that they were telling me was that to look up the percentages, and I think I have them here, that since World War II, the public school population has grown by 663%.
Wow.
But the administrators hired has gone up by 7 times that. So you have so many cooks in the kitchen, so to speak. Everybody's making, you know, little edicts here and there. Everybody's micromanaging the teachers, and none of it's getting them anywhere. It's not helping. And in most cases, when I have found a teacher that is a rock star, they will quietly whisper to me, well, I don't do it the way they told me. I do it the way I know best because I've been teaching long enough. I know my class.
Sure, sure.
And that's a key thing that I think public school is not focusing on.
Okay. All right. Well, then let me ask you this. What mindset shift or strategy could help first-year teachers see the bigger picture, you know, without getting crushed by it?
So, if you got into education for the reasons that you truly want to help kids, like my wife is very proud. We will occasionally, particularly when our kids were graduating high school, she would see other students walking across that stage who she had taught in second grade, first grade, third grade. And, you know, she feels proud about that, of what she did for them, and talking to them when they come back to visit, they're going into, you know, college, going to be an engineer, going to be a pilot, going to be whatever it is. You are a tremendous cog in that wheel that brings them to their future. And you're, you have to be proud of the work you're doing and realize that there's going to be, it's going to be stressful and there's nothing you can really do about that. But what you're doing for the kids is a huge plus, a huge positive.
Okay.
In their life, especially.
Yeah. Yeah. Can you share an example of a teacher who made that shift and what did it look like in real life?
Well, I was speaking to a teacher in Florida once, and I was talking to her about, I had looked up the how many teachers were on anti-anxiety medicine, and it was quite alarming. It was like 42% of most schools. And, you know, that's a sad fact. And that comes out of all the stress that they pile onto the teachers. But she said, I used to be on them, but I got off of them. And it was more for her a spiritual side of things that she just sort of said, you know what, I'm doing what I'm doing. I feel good about it. And I'm going to let the worries and the stress and all that just let God handle it, and not try and internalize it as if it's my only problems in life.
Right.
And she was more about letting go for her.
Okay. The Teacher Rockstar Academy course is meticulously designed to equip you with the tools and strategies needed to skyrocket your effectiveness as a teacher. Curious to know if the Teacher Rockstar Academy course is the missing piece in your teaching journey? If you're ready to reclaim control of your classroom and witness the incredible impact on your students, then use the link in the podcast description to learn more about this program. Brian, let me ask you this. What could admin do if you had to recommend to them one or two things that they could do right now, tomorrow, that would alleviate a lot of that stress and overwhelm that today's teachers and particularly first-year teachers face?
Yeah. We're talking about...
like principals.
Principals, or are we talking about district? Well principals... Yeah. Yeah, see, principals have their hands tied, too. It is not uncommon for a principal to tell me, or a teacher to tell me this, that the principal will quietly say, I know that you're upset about this, but this is what the district said. We don't have a choice.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's unfortunate. What they could do, honestly, is two things. First, let the teachers teach. They know how to teach. A first year teacher may not. But they'll get there. And if they have good mentors in the school, they will get there. One of the things when we hired teachers, because all of our videos were created by teachers, I always wanted a teacher who had been in the classroom more than 10 years and had been teaching that grade level more than 3, because a teacher who's been teaching the same lesson every year knows what questions they're going to get. They know where the students at that grade level or age level are going to be tripped up or have struggles to understand. And so they're going to build that into their lesson. And that makes their lessons that they're putting forth to the students much more succinct and understandable, because they already know, you know, what that age group is going to have trouble with. Let the teachers teach. What my wife and about 100 other teachers have told me, tell us what the end goal is at the end of the year, the state testing or the grades or what it is in the curriculum they need to know. I will get them there. But don't come in and tell me I have to do it through circular, or we have to do it through this means, or this, you know, we have a grant for this, so we must teach it this way, or we can't, we're not allowed. For a while, they weren't elementary school teachers were not allowed to teach math in the standard algorithm, where you stack the numbers on top of each other in some states.
Yeah.
Because they said that was, they wanted them to learn it other ways. At the end of the day.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let the teachers teach. They will get it there. I think the second thing is the overwhelming response to my questions was the teachers don't feel supported anymore when it comes to behavior. When I was a kid, I have seen things in schools, just visiting the schools, that have astounded me. That when I was in school, and I'm 57, almost 58, you would have been kicked out of school for.
Yeah, yeah.
I have seen or heard, talked to teachers who have had things thrown at them. One teacher with a broken hand because someone threw something in third grade. Teachers getting called getting cussed out with the F words and stuff. One teacher told me she has someone in her class that was so disruptive that the rest of the class was not getting a good education because of one child. But the school system said they won't remove them anymore.
See, that's...
Yeah, so we're capitulating to one child, and the rest of them are suffering. And one of the things she was telling me was that every time she would send this child down to the office, he would just come right back within 15
minutes. Oh, yeah, yeah, that's terrible. Well, I'm sorry.
You know, I think that's very defeating to a teacher. You know, I have a child here who is possibly harmful, definitely disruptive. I can't do my job, and I'm not getting support to do my job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Wow. Now, if we can't fix the whole system overnight, what can a first-year teacher do inside their own classroom to push back against the forces that you talk about?
Yeah, so that's, I think if one of the things about education, you were in education, so I bet you could talk to this too, but it's very seniority driven. Like you're in a first year, you need to sit down, stay in your lane kind of thing. But outside of that, whether it's your first or second year, one of the things, my wife is very pragmatic and she has great results. And you would expect her husband to say that, but I mean, truthfully, she's had some of the highest state scores in the county. But she often speaks up when she sees them applying something that isn't going to work or it's been tried already. But she will notice that they'll be in a meeting and no one else is saying anything. And then she will speak up and then everyone else will suddenly speak up.
Yeah, they're all fainting, but she brings it forward.
It's the Cheryl, whatever her name was, from Facebook about lean in. If you have an opinion, speak up. Okay. You might be wrong about it, by the way, but somebody can tell you why.
Yeah.
But the overarching issue here is that when edicts are being put down onto your school or your teacher, the other teachers, if nobody's speaking up and pushing back a little bit, then you get what you get.
Yeah. Yeah, you do. Yeah, you do. Brian, let me ask you this. Now, if your book could spark one concrete change that would make life tangibly better for new teachers, what would that look like?
Ooh. Well, we talked about letting them teach.
Yeah.
I think that, and I think that cleaning up behavior, I think that maybe alternative school needs to become a thing again.
Okay.
I think that, so I don't even have one. You can tell I've got a few. But I think that one of the things that I think that would fix education across the board is that we need to strip it back down to its bare bones and restart. There's a lot of stuff that I think not so, particularly in union-controlled schools where there's a lot of social and emotional. They have SEL, so social and emotional learning. Mm-hmm. A lot of teachers are very uncomfortable with this. And I'll tell you how uncomfortable they are. When I would speak to a teacher who was in a union-controlled area, they would ask me, is my name going to be used in this? And if I said, and I would always say no, and they would say, okay, then I'll tell you my true opinion. The whole argument about what we should teach when it comes to social issues, I think needs to be left at home, and we need to get back to basics of math, science, and all the basic stuff. And I think that, let me add this in, this is not part of your question, but this has kind of always, I've been wondering why this hasn't been changed. Most schools have gotten rid of a home ec pro, or it's sort of a side thing that not everyone has to take. But, and when I was in school, I had to take accounting. It was a small class, it just taught you how to balance your checkbook. Nobody does that anymore. But hey, how about we do a class on not what a credit score means?
Yeah,
to keep it where it is, how not to get catfished or to have someone send you a link and say your Apple, you need to log in and put your Apple password in when it's a scam.
Yeah.
How about teaching them some real world stuff that will keep them from getting, you know, caught up in things they don't need to be caught up.
Yeah. Like financial literacy.
Absolutely.
I think all grades from K through 12 could get some aspect of financial literacy. That's just my opinion.
And you could start with, if you buy Starbucks every day, that equals this much over a month. You guys, this is a conversation I've had with all my teenagers.
Absolutely.
I need money. You know how many times you've been to Starbucks this month?
That's right. Oh, my gosh. Okay, Brian, let me ask you this. What is your biggest takeaway that you'd like to share with our audience? I know there's many, but you pack tons of value in this. What would be just one takeaway that you could feel that you would address to the teachers out there?
Well, this is the thing. I believe in education, and I believe that teachers are they should get paid more, especially the ones that do get really good results.
Mm-hmm.
I know that's not popular in the education industry, but I think that there can be some bonus or some, you could figure out a structure.
Yeah.
I also think that, you look at cities where they're graduating 2/3 of the population, like Chicago and Baltimore, and they're not at grade level reading and math, but they're still graduating high school. Those kids are doomed to not doing well. They don't have a good education. And we're not talking about college. We're talking about the basics. You can't do math. You can't read. And my wife always says it starts with reading, because
yes,
if you don't read, you're going to have trouble doing math.
Absolutely.
And so you... teachers who can get through to a child, those are saints.
Absolutely. Thank you for that. Brian, how could people connect with you? Do you have
I have a website.
Okay.
It's we set it up just so everybody would have one place to go. And
okay.
It's Brian, B-R-Y-A-N, Thomas, T-H-O-M-A-S, mm-hmm. Wetzel, W-E-T-Z-E-L.com. And right there, it'll give you links to me. And a lot of teachers, since I wrote this book, will send me their stories of behavior or things they saw in school. And I'm like, maybe one day I'll just publish their stories into another book.
Absolutely. Yeah. It seems like from what I've been getting from you is that admin support and behavioral kind of tops the list.
It does.
It seems like. Yeah. Yeah. It's a shame.
And it's an outward sign to a teacher who is asking the admin to please help me with this child so that the rest of the class can move forward, and they're not getting it. That's an immediately feels like you're not getting help or support from your leadership.
Absolutely.
And in that instance, I don't know what the district is telling the principals, but it seems to me that it's common sense that you cannot keep a child in class who is disrupting the rest of the class.
Absolutely.
The funny thing about that is a lot of times when you hear public schools argue that, well, private schools get better scores because they're able to get rid of problem children. Well, I'm like, well, let's come up with a solution here.
Yeah.
I'm not asking you to get rid of them. They deserve to get an education.
Yeah, they do, but maybe not in that specific classroom.
Yes, exactly.
I agree 100%. Well, Brian, I want to thank you very much. I really mean this for coming on the show and taking time out of your schedule to talk about this, talk about your book and the issues that teachers are facing today. And obviously, we wish you the very best in your future, and hope to have you back on again at some point.
Yeah, I would love that. I'd love that.
All right. Okay. And before we go, I'm excited to share that Brian Wetzel's book, The Real Problems Destroying Education, is available on Amazon and other major retailers. It's a powerful read for anyone who really cares about the future of our schools. So be sure to check it out. Well, we have come to the end of today's episode. Thanks for listening to the Teacher Rockstar Podcast. I'm your host, Steve Hiles, and we will see you same time, same place next week. And remember, my friend, you got this.
You've been listening to the Teacher Rockstar Podcast with your host, Steve Hiles. We hope you've enjoyed this podcast as much as we have. Make sure to hit that subscribe button and join our ever-growing community of teacher rock stars. Until then, thanks for listening.